Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Christine Sandy, and I'm the Program Director of the Rural Health Information Hub. I'd like to welcome you to today's webinar with the National Advisory Committee on Rural Health and Human Services. They will be sharing updates on their recent work on PACE and child care needs in rural areas. And before we begin, I'll quickly run through a few housekeeping items. We have provided a PDF copy of the presentation, and that's on the RHI Hub website. So you can either go to the URL that's on your screen or click the link in the chat function. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our speakers for today's webinar. Jeff Collier is the chair of the National Advisory Committee on Rural Health and Human Services. He is a physician and the former governor of Kansas. As governor, he made Kansas the first state to privatize its entire Medicaid program into CanCare, saving $2.5 billion, expanding services, and acting as the basis of many other states' programs. A surgeon known for volunteering in 25 war zones from Rwanda to Syria, he provides trauma reconstruction in Kansas City. Originally from Hayes, Governor Collier has degrees from Georgetown, Cambridge University, and KU Med. Pat Scow is the executive director of ICANN, the first statewide critical access hospital network. She also manages the Medicare Rural Hospital Flexibility Grant, Small Hospital Improvement Program, and several other grant programs on behalf of the Illinois Department of Public Health. In addition, Pat is the executive director of the Illinois Rural Community Care Organization. Pat has more than 35 years of clinical and rural hospital administrative experience. Our final speaker will be Isabel Garcia Vargas. Working in early childhood education for over 30 years, Isabel is the executive director of the Redlands Christian Migrant Association. RCMA provides childcare and kindergarten through eighth grade dual language education to over 6,500 migrant and low-income students and their families throughout the state of Florida. She is an accomplished early childhood educator and the leader within the world of Head Start. And with that, I'll pass it over to you, Governor Collier, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Christine, and thank you to RHI Hub for hosting this and putting this together. And thank you to the numerous staff and the committee members that have worked hundreds of hours to put these reports together. My name is Jeff Collier, and I was the former governor of Kansas, a lieutenant governor, and also a surgeon here. And rural health issues has really been something that's been in my blood and in my DNA from when I was born. And so it's been a real honor to serve with this committee. The National Advisory Commission has been charged with a number of high-level overviews on topics. And two of those topics that we're going to go through today are regarding the Program of All-Inclusive Care for the Elderly, known as the PACE program. And Pat is going to be discussing that. Then we'll have Isabel Garcia Vargas, who will discuss child care needs and availability in rural areas. In other words, we're taking both ends of the age spectrum on two very important topics here. Before we hear from them, I want to provide you a little bit of background on the National Advisory Commission on Rural Health and Human Services. This is actually a federally chartered program. It's actually instituted in law and is composed of 21 citizens from across the United States. And we have a variety of experience and expertise in health and human services. Typically, the committee meets twice a year to examine issues of importance and usually issues two or three different reports to the secretary and to the country. The committee has been quite busy over the last couple of years and has actually passed that on several different occasions. In the end, we provide a policy brief making recommendations to the secretary of HHS. And those policy briefs can be found on the committee website. One of the first things I asked the committee when I came on board was to develop an actual vision for what we wanted from our work. And that vision is that we want to focus on a rural America that is full of diverse citizens, of healthy people and places and providers, a place where you can access world-class care and human services, and see continued innovation and real rural values being played out in their health and human services. In short, we really want this to be a place where you have the greatest opportunity to live your American dream. And so we keep this vision top of mind of all of our work. And as we advance this vision, we're exploring a number of innovations in rural healthcare and human services. We're highlighting ways to integrate healthcare services and non-healthcare sectors, as well as human services. We are also recommending public policies that advance rural community diversity and resiliency. And of course, we rely on the science and the evidence and really working with large groups of advisors. And we advance this vision in a variety of ways. We're looking at a whole variety of different ways of helping our fellow citizens. One of them is the PACE program, which is the program for all-inclusive care for the elderly. And it's just really beginning to become available in rural areas. The committee had our last meeting in Lawrence, Kansas last fall, and we heard on the subject matter experts on PACE, on aging and long-term care issues. Now, as a governor, I was very much aware of the PACE program and saw how this began years ago and how it has expanded nationally. Now, here in Kansas, we are offering an innovative way to care for nursing home eligible seniors and by keeping that at home. Now, I have to tell you, the knowledge of the PACE program across the committee and kind of reflects the way it is across the country. Not many people know about it, but many people were sort of generally aware of it, but really hadn't taken an in-depth dive. And once we got to really dig into this, we found that all of our committee members were very excited about the opportunities that the PACE programs provide. So I'd like to tell you some of the big picture takeaways, and then we'll turn it over to Pat. So part of the context of the PACE program is that it is a combined Medicare and Medicaid program. So it's a federal and a state option, what many people call dual eligibles. It's part of a group of care delivery focuses that the goal is to preserve the senior's ability to live at home, and that includes both their Medicare Advantage plans as well as their Medicaid HCBS waivers. They're focused on individuals over 55 and older. They live in a service area for a PACE organization, and many of them need nursing-level home care certified by their state, but we're able to actively provide them home care instead. One of the important things the committee wanted to focus on was detailing important differences about implementing this in an urban environment versus our rural communities. We focused on PACE for this discussion because we saw a lot of potential issues where we can address some very significant problems in our rural environment, particularly in access to long-term care services and support. Two of the issues that uniquely affect our broad expansion of PACE are transportation and staffing shortages. Long distances to receive care and inadequate transportation, as we all know, is a really major challenge in rural areas. And transportation is a central core provision of the service PACE programs. And so it is a way that they can really help our rural elderly. However, we have long drives for services in rural communities and can be difficult even for frail elders. So transportation is a very important consideration. Another really important consideration are ongoing staff shortages, which have actually gotten worse over the last couple of years since COVID. PACE has an interdisciplinary team staffing requirement, and that requires a primary care advisor or primary care physician who can work in an advisory role, a registered nurse, a master's level social worker, physical therapist, occupational therapist, and a dietitian. Now, if a rural community has two of these, it's doing pretty well in most instances. But this is a way that we could actually bring telehealth to provide the full spectrum of services to reduce some of our staffing problems that we have in our rural areas. So despite these and other challenges, the committee has been incredibly impressed by what we saw with the PACE program in Eastern Kansas. It really seems to meet the full range of seniors' need. And as we heard from one PACE recipient, she talked at length about how the program was actually a game changer for her physical and her mental health. Prior to enrolling in PACE, she experienced social isolation and it took a serious toll on her mental and physical health. So PACE offered her social interaction, kept her in her home, got her the urgent medical care that she sorely needed, and it really integrated her health and her social services together. Another thing that stands out is the financing of these programs. These programs normally have a very small number of enrollees, but the PACE program will actually assume full financial risk to make it worth because we're combining both Medicare and Medicaid funding. And what we're finding is that we're getting better results and, yes, actually saving money. By the end of our visits, the committee members were not only big fans of PACE, but they wanted to make some recommendations to the secretary that the program be expanded and targeted in rural areas. So I want to turn this over to Pat, who will explain some of our recommendations that the committee submitted to the secretary. Pat?
Well, thank you, Governor. I did a great job of giving the framework for this wonderful program that very few of us on the committee knew about. I go back to my days as a young nursing student, and it was just starting in San Francisco, and was impressed at how it all came together for seniors. And just think how long it's taken to roll out to our rural communities. And so I hope by the end of this program today, you'll have a greater appreciation for this wonderful program that Governor talked about. And about perhaps some takeaways about how we can really move into this program and either use it, get into the program of PACE, or maybe learn from some of the wonderful programs that's put together. I want to start building the background more about our recommendations and really start with rural demographics. And I'm not going to tell you anything new that you don't already know, you know, that we have 1 in 5 that are older adults and they live in rural areas, similar to, you know, how rural is compared to the urban population. We have a higher poverty rate. You know, we have a greater concentration. 17.5% of Americans live in rural areas over 65. Compared to 14.5 that live in urban areas. So you can see if you go and look from state to state, as well as from national perspective, there really is a greater concentration of rural elderly in our communities. And it presents a problem because we don't have a lot of the conveniences and transportation there. We also know that there's a higher prevalence of adults with multiple chronic health conditions. And it may be a lifestyle, it may be just that we have older adults, but regardless of it, we do have a greater percentage of it. And we want to make sure that we have a way of managing that and provide work for it. There's a higher percentage of people with disability. And as Governor mentioned, and Christine, I work with Accountable Care Organization in Illinois, a statewide organization that's a Medicare Shared Savings Program. And what we have learned in our rural area is that their cost of providing care for dual eligible is much higher, $5,000-$7,000 per individual higher than in urban areas. And so, you know, the programs like PACE, which is an all-inclusive program, perhaps is a way that can help build on it. However, we need to be able to expand it to our rural areas so that we can cover. And there's approximately 2.6 million people in our rural areas. So, you know, it's really important that we begin to look at our rural demographics and what can we do for that population that really needs our attention, not only for increasing the value of their life and their family members, but also controlling costs. So the committee recommended, and as Governor pointed out, the continuation of this program. We were very much impressed with it. So I'm just going to walk through these recommendations just to emphasize how important they are. Support a pilot program for Medicare only to see if there's a difference between the Medicare beneficiaries as the dual eligible. More use of telehealth, and we learned through COVID how that really has changed. You still have to have that one-on-one contact and build that relationship, but telehealth can fill in those gaps. The development of more rural resources. We talked a lot about rural areas and including tribal areas, which could be very, very important to the Indian areas. Supporting guidance to clarify the range of allowable shared spaces for like critical access. Could we, you know, and I work with critical access hospitals, small rural, how can we build that relationship with these communities? And can we find some partnerships there? allow sites to be eligible for the Loan Repayment Program, National Health Service Corps, and Nursing Corps. And that enrollment actually is going on now. So that's my pitch to get into the National Health Service Corps. It's great for providers as well as, you know, people wanting to go into the profession. Encourage students to be trained as health professionals, both on site and in tribal areas, and then encourage some of the residencies or at least some types of experiences in the PACE setting so they see that comprehensive care. That's really what we're seeing with the PACE, is that comprehensive care, which we don't have in our rural areas. It's very fragmented. And so maybe that will help with improving that concept. Allow PACE organizations to submit multiple applications. That's one thing Governor talked about. They can only do one a year. And you know, it's hard to get that startup. And if somebody knows how to do that well, how can we work and build and provide some collaboration among organization? And existing PACE sites to have expedited approval. Often it takes months and months to get that approved. And that makes it very, very difficult. So let's delve into a little bit more detail about that. With really going into low patient volume, and that's been some of the challenges for our rural areas, because you really want to, you know, some synergies are there from transportation and costs and everything by having volume there. And so how can we build on it? Could you have rural communities come together and so forth? And so how can we expand that and perhaps just look at Medicare? Do they all have to be dual eligible? And how can we enhance those resources in long-term care areas that really would make a difference? The other thing with this, we found that there were a lot of high cost of the prescription deep prescription program. And that made people nervous about it with startup costs, because it's an all-inclusive program. So if maybe with just Medicare only, we might be able to, you know, reduce the cost and still provide that opportunity. And we're looking at this pilot and how could they encompass that? Could we look at being creative in a pilot that would really work through that, and the importance of having some seed funding? You know, we really want to promote other groups looking at how can we encourage rural startups in our rural community? Can we look at different population sets? Can we look at how people can maybe partner together to do it? And really, that's what the committee wanted to do, is how can we address the low volume, which sometimes people are reluctant to do. If you only have dual eligible, that really makes a small subset. But if it was Medicare only, or you could combine two communities, maybe there's a way that we can work through it. And I think that's just a challenge of a program, you know, starts out in a very urban area, very concentrated area, and now you move to a broader area. How can we make that work? And so that's really what the committee looked at. The second recommendation regarding broadband and telehealth. And, you know, like I said, we've all felt the experience of telehealth the last couple of years, and how can we extend it to the PACE organization and have that authority, not just through the, you know, the end of the public health and